Women in Saudi Arabia could use more respect when it comes to driving. Women are forbidden from getting behind the wheel there. Just last month, a woman tried to drive from the United Arab Emirates into Saudi Arabia, and she was promptly arrested. Now, Saudi Arabia may be the only country where women can't drive, but it happens in other places, too, even here in the U.S. Fermette Goldberger tells her story.
I was 23 years old when I first started to drive. It's not that I was afraid to. I wasn't allowed because I'm a woman. I grew up in a small, densely populated village in upstate New York called Kiryas-Jol. And in Kiryas-Jol, women don't drive. It's a village of ultra-Orthodox Hasidic Jews. In my hometown, women can't be jailed for driving like they can in Saudi Arabia, but driving is still forbidden. A woman who drives would risk being shunned and her children expelled from the private Hasidic school. She could be excommunicated from the community. Growing up, it never dawned on me that driving was a possibility. No woman in my family or neighborhood ever did. We were taught that our tznius, our modesty, would be at stake. But I think there's something else. For Hasidic women, being banned from the wheel means being tied to your husband and to your community. Driving gives you the keys to freedom and independence. My husband and I eventually left the community to explore a less restrictive Jewish lifestyle. And I got my driver's license. When my father heard, he said to my mother, "She will kill herself and her children." I wasn't thinking about this when I made my first long-distance drive to New York City with two female friends from Kiryas-Jol. I had borrowed a GPS and got on the road with my old tan Buick. It was dark when we started to head back, not ideal for a new timid driver. I missed one exit, then the next, waiting for the distressed GPS to reroute. I was wiping beads of sweat off my forehead while my friends chatted in the back seat. Suddenly, without warning, cars started coming at me in the opposite direction. I had stared into oncoming traffic. I froze. I saw my father pointing an accusatory finger at me. I saw death. 5 minutes later, after I honked and blinked my lights furiously, the cars came to a standstill to allow me to back out of the mess. My driving has been relatively uneventful since, a few fender benders here and there, but my children and I are still alive and well. I still live in Rockland County, New York, not too far from the village where I grew up. But if the mileage on my car is proof of anything, it's that I've traveled far from where I used to be.
Fermette Goldberger's story closes our show today. From the Nan and Bill Harris studios here at WGBH in Boston, I'm Marco Werman. Please tune in tomorrow.
The World is a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston, supported by the PRI Global Reporting Fund, providing in-depth reporting on a diverse array of important topics, including global health. Donors include Marguerite Steed Hoffman and Blythe Brendan Mann Foundation. The PRI Ambassador Council, whose members include Peter Berge and Debbie Sitt, and Cindy and Howard Rachofsky. The WGBH Fund for Environmental Reporting, whose donors include the Grantham Foundation for the Protection of the Environment, supporting a cooperative approach to solving our critical environmental problems while we still can. And by the PRI Trust for Innovation, which enables informed risk-taking in the creation of new content for public radio. Donors include the Tagney-Jones Family Fund and the Rose Family Fund.
PRI, Public Radio International.